Welcome to the How To Dressage podcast, and in this episode, we're going to look at how to use the Scales of Training pyramid. Now, if you're just beginning your journey into the world of dressage, you'll need to familiarise yourself with the Dressage Scales of Training pyramid. Now, the training scales are your first port of call when things go wrong, as they form the foundation of your training. Now, if you work your way methodically along the scales, then you're paving your way for dressage success. So, how do you use the Dressage Scales of Training? Well, that's what we're going to talk about in today's podcast episode. So firstly, what is the training pyramid? Well, the dressage training scales were originally conceived by the German military as a way of ensuring that the classical principles of schooling and training the horse were carried on through generations of riders. Now, the training scales are usually depicted as a pyramid, with rhythm as the foundation, right the way through to collection as the pinnacle. So, the six scales, and they are as follows. So, scale 1 is rhythm. Scale 2 is suppleness. Scale 3 is contact. Scale 4 is impulsion. Scale 5 is straightness. And scale 6 is collection. Now, the scales are all interdependent. So, in other words, they're like building blocks. For example, you can't have a good elastic contact if the horse isn't working through a supple back and in a good rhythm. Now that said, if you focus on one individual element of the training scale, then you will most likely improve on more of the others. However, the most important scale is rhythm, because if the rhythm is not pure and correct, then it's pretty much impossible for the horse to progress. So now we know what the training scales are, how are they applied to dressage tests? Well, dressage judges are trained to assess the horse's training in line with the scales of training, and the dressage tests are designed around this training pyramid. So at the lower levels, the emphasis is on the first three scales of rhythm, suppleness, and contact. And on the USEF test sheets, the purpose of the test is shown. For example, in the training level tests, the purpose is to confirm that the horse's muscles are supple and loose and that the horse moves freely forward in a clear and steady rhythm, accepting contact with the bit. Now, in British dressage tests, the training scale is reflected in the directives column on the sheet and also in the collective definitions. Okay, so now let's move on to look at each of the scales individually. We're going to explain why each one is important and give you some exercises to work on developing each scale. So, scale number 1 is rhythm. Now, the correct rhythm is crucial in dressage. The horse's gait must be pure, showing a 4-beat walk, a 2-beat trot, and a 3-beat canter. Now, the rhythm must be regular, and the tempo, which is the speed of the rhythm, must be appropriate for the work that the horse is doing. So here are a couple of exercises to help you out. So for the first exercise, we're going to find your horse's natural rhythm. Now, this is best done without the interference of a rider on his back. So what you're going to do is you're going to lunge your horse in each gait and watch how he naturally moves. Now, adjust the horse's tempo so that he doesn't rush or move too slowly. And then once the horse is working in a good rhythm, then introduce a few transitions. Now, aim for the transitions between the paces and within them to be smooth and unhurried. Now, without you on his back, the horse will learn to find his own balance. And you can also make the circle smaller and then larger again, and that helps to develop the horse's balance and consolidate the tempo and the rhythm. Then once you've done that, you can then move to working under saddle, and you're going to repeat the same exercises, but be careful that you don't push your horse out of the rhythm and the tempo that you established on the lunge. Moving on to scale number 2, which is suppleness. Now, in a nutshell, suppleness refers to the swing through the horse's back and top line and his ability to bend uniformly and evenly from side to side. Now, the muscles and the joints that run from the hind legs over the quarters, the croup, in front of the withers and up to the poll must be loose and without tension. So exercises for this include circles, serpentines and changes of direction. These are all excellent tools for helping you develop suppleness. So get inventive so that your schooling sessions aren't boring for the horse and use lots of different patterns, remembering to keep the horse working in the correct rhythm and the tempo for the pace that you are riding in. Now the next scale is contact. Now your contact with the horse's mouth should be elastic and the horse should seek your hand. You should never take the contact from the horse or impose a contact upon him. Instead, think of riding from the back to the front and never the other way around. Now you can't hold or fiddle the horse's head into the correct outline. The horse will only work into an elastic contact and a true connection when he is working forward through a supple top line and in a correct rhythm. Now if the horse is hollow through his back, he will most likely work above the bit and you won't have the elasticity of the contact that you're looking for. So when it comes to exercises to improve the contact issues, you need to revisit the exercises for suppleness and also the one for rhythm. So now let's move on to scale number 4, which is impulsion. Now impulsion does not mean speed. Impulsion refers to the power and thrust that's generated by the horse's hindquarters, pushing the horse forwards and upwards. Now the impulsion that you create is contained by the elastic contact. So if your horse isn't working through his back into an elastic contact, then you cannot create impulsion. Now you need to use half halts to harness and control the impulsion so that the horse doesn't increase his tempo or hurry out of his rhythm. So a great exercise for this is transitions, because you can develop more impulsion by making sure that the horse is responsive to your forward leg aids. Now to do that, use lots of transitions between the gates and also within the paces too. Now when making transitions within the pace, use half halts to contain the energy that you have and then ride the horse forward to lengthen his stride. Now scale number 5 is straightness. Now the horse must move straight on both a straight line and on a circle. Now when viewed from behind, the horse's hind feet should step into the footprints left by his front feet, unless you're riding lateral movements. Now effectively, the horse should appear to be moving along a railway track. Now for the horse to move straight, he must be supple to the bend, although that sounds a little contradictory. However, if the horse is stiff laterally, he won't be able to uniformly bend his body around the curve of a circle, and horses that are not straight often push their quarters out around a circle or through the corners of the arena. Now, the most helpful exercises for improving suppleness to the bend and therefore straightness are lateral exercises. So when ridden correctly, exercises such as shoulder fore, shoulder in, traverse and counter canter encourage your horse to bend around your inside leg and bring his inside hind legs more underneath his body. Now these exercises can be ridden on a straight line and also around a circle, and you can use combinations of all three exercises to develop your horse's lateral suppleness and straightness. And the final scale is scale number 6, which is collection. Now collection is the ultimate aim of the dressage rider and it's the pinnacle of the dressage scales of training pyramid. Now collection is not created by shortening the horse's stride, but by teaching him to transfer his weight back onto his hindquarters, making his balance more uphill and working in self-carriage. Now for this to be achieved, the horse must be physically and mentally strong enough. Now when the horse is collected, he will be able to perform more advanced movements with apparent ease, and his paces will have more elevation and expression. Now, true collection is only possible when the horse has been schooled correctly and systematically, following the dressage scales of training pyramid. Now, until the horse can work in a correct rhythm, through a supple top line, into an elastic contact, with plenty of energy and impulsion, and once he is straight, he cannot be collected. Okay, so now that we've covered each of the scales individually, let's look at using them for troubleshooting. Because no matter what level your horse is working at, when things go wrong, you must revisit the dressage scales of training pyramid and play dressage detective. So think about each of the scales and work out where the weak link is that's causing the issue. For example, if the horse tends to work above the bit, the issue is most likely with suppleness rather than contact. Now, if the horse is tense, he will stiffen through his back, so you need to work on encouraging the horse to relax. Now, once your horse is relaxed, you can work on encouraging him to work through his back, which naturally leads to a horse seeking your contact and working into a rounder frame and a more elastic contact. So, problem solved. So, to wrap this episode up, every aspiring dressage rider should familiarise themselves with the dressage scales of training pyramid and make sure that when you're schooling your horse, you always have the scales in the forefront of your mind. Now, when things don't go according to plan, take a step back and consider which of the scales is likely to be the cause of the problem. And remember that all the scales are intertwined. You can't have one without the other. So take an holistic approach to your training and use the scales to formulate a plan. Now, if you have any questions when it comes to this podcast episode, or if you have any other hints and tips that you would like to share with us, then please do so in the comments box at the bottom of the relevant blog post on our website. And to make sure that you don't miss out on any of our other free stuff, our books, our training diaries and competitions, please don't forget to like and follow us on our other social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and Pinterest. We truly appreciate you for taking the time to listen to our podcast, and we hope that you got a lot from it. For more, don't forget to check out our articles and other free stuff, which is available on our website, howtodressage.com, and pop by Amazon for our range of dressage books, planners, and diaries to help you stay on track with your competitions and training. Bye for now.